You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, the internet can seem disconnected from the real world. You log in, you log out. But what kind of long-term effects does this have on our culture? Are the memes we're laughing at more meaningful than we realize? We'll tackle those questions with the creator of a new online series called Internetting. First, in a series of New Year's Day tweets, President Trump said that the United States has, quote, foolishly given Pakistan more than $33 billion in aid over the last 15 years, end quote. He went on to say that the only thing the U.S. has gotten in return were, again quoting, nothing but lies and deceit. U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Nikki Haley backed up the president's comments and accused the country of harboring terrorists. The tweets sent by the president caused protests in large Pakistani cities. Now the White House is saying we're going to cut a lot of military aid to Pakistan. Saeed Khan is with us now. He's a senior lecturer in Near East Asian and Global Studies at Wayne State University. Saeed, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me back, Rob.
Well, the core argument from President Trump and the White House is that Pakistan has been backing the Taliban in some ways in their own country and in Afghanistan. And they're right, right? This is kind of an open secret, isn't it?
Well, it is, but I think it's a much more complicated situation when one takes a look at two things. First, the border between Pakistan and Afghanistan is quite porous. And in many ways, not only does that inform the mobility and the movement of the Taliban back and forth, with limited resources on the part of Pakistan to be able to really police or control that, but it also shows the rather porous nature of how the Taliban is perceived, both by the United States and by Pakistan. Here you have a situation where the Taliban is certainly a major player in Afghan politics, and it would be very difficult for any kind of long-term strategic perspective on the part of the United States to not involve the Taliban in some capacity or the other. Pakistan also recognizes this and is, of course, also concerned with its own domestic stability and security, something that the Taliban wields an awful lot of influence in determining within its borders.
So that said, what is your reaction to, first, the president's tweets and to this idea of a major cut in military aid to Pakistan?
Well, first of all, I think that when you take a look, Rob, at the president's tweets and what seems to be a rather mercurial attitude toward Pakistan, this is something that is not new. We saw that even in 2007, then-candidate Barack Obama had some rather critical positions to take regarding Pakistan, but once he was in office, he had to concede to the realpolitik and to broader American foreign policy strategic considerations. That being said, it's also important to recognize that Pakistan has been a frontline ally of the United States, particularly during the Cold War. It was the only non-Western country to belong to more than one defense configuration, the Central Nations Treaty Organization, as well as the Southeast Asian Treaty Organization. This is a country from which covert ops were launched, the infamous 1960 Gary Powers U-2 incident, a country which also was a major conduit in the battle to end the Cold War with the Afghan War that lasted from 1979 to 1989, and then, of course, from 2001 onwards, the battle against al-Qaeda. So when President Trump is saying that this is going to be a new relationship and a punitive one toward Pakistan, number one is it seems to belie a much longer history, which is certainly a rather turbulent marriage, if you will. But also the amount of money that is being dangled as a threat to Pakistan is really pittance. We're talking about $255 million. At the same time, Pakistan's investment, thanks to China, is on the total of about $62 billion. So you're talking about a 243 times investment that the regional superpower China has. What this will probably do is intensify already very good relations with China, and Pakistan is going to drift further away from the American sphere of influence.
Talking to Saeed Khan from Wayne State University, looking at the U.S. relationship with Pakistan after tweets from Donald Trump, critical of the country, and a threatened cutoff of some military aid. Saeed, with that history you just mentioned, is there going to be concern from Pakistani leadership about the United States? We were heavily involved there, as you were saying, during the Cold War and the last days of the Cold War. We kind of backed away and disappeared for a while until we needed them again after 9/11.
And that's something, Rob, that I think Pakistani leaders, and really what we're talking about is three different spheres of leadership here. We have the civilian leadership, we have the military, and then we have the all-powerful ISI, their intelligence services. We find that particularly when it comes to the military and the ISI, they have recognized that the United States, going all the way back really to 1989 and the end of the Afghan war, that American attention span, shall we say, may not necessarily be that focused. And perhaps that seems to be much more personified with President Trump and his attention span regarding regarding Pakistan. And so Pakistan has been very capable of then coming up with contingency plans, not only when it comes to its relationship with China, but also domestically. This certainly was one of the reasons why it went forward with its nuclear program in the 1980s, which culminated in 1998 with the test firing of a nuclear weapon, even though they realized that this would then subject them to sanctions, which it did, from the United States.
Looking at U.S. efforts in Afghanistan, how difficult is that for us to stay there in Afghanistan without Pakistani cooperation in terms of just using their borders to get troops and supplies in and out, among other things?
Well, Pakistan is the only country that has a border with Afghanistan for with which the United States has the least worst relations. On the western side, of course, is Iran. In the north, there is Russia or former Russian republics, and then, of course, China to the east. So in many ways, again, this is a marriage of both convenience and inconvenience at the same time. It seems as though cooler heads will have to prevail, and we see still, despite the rhetoric both from President Trump as well as UN Ambassador Nikki Haley, a movement toward perhaps something a bit more tepid. The thing that has really been noteworthy is how public this criticism has been, which of course then really suggests that the audience for this was not Pakistan and certainly the capital of Islamabad and the leadership there, but really trying to mollify some of the other regional players, particularly India, in efforts to create better economic and military cooperation with Pakistan's arch rival to the east.
Could this be seen as a tough negotiating tactic? We're sending this strong public message to the leadership in Pakistan that'll get them to come to the table and maybe work a little better with us in the future?
Well, I think that no one has actually left the table, Rob, and what we're probably going to see then is some kind of rhetorical gestures on the part of Pakistan to say that we will go ahead and take certain initiatives and certain measures. Perhaps there will be more identifiable benchmarks to say that with this kind of cooperation, with this kind of assistance, we can guarantee or we will move toward the minimization of cross-border terrorism and extremism taking part. But again, the audience for these rather inflammatory statements seems to be less about Pakistan than what is being perceived as a shift in American foreign policy in the region, both to perhaps contain China as well as to create a counterweight force with India.
You mentioned earlier, though, that this could push Pakistan closer to China. I've also seen people saying that it could push them closer to another ally with some question marks of the United States, Saudi Arabia.
Well, the relationship between Pakistan and Saudi Arabia is actually already quite strong. Saudi Arabia is not only the home of a lot of Pakistani expatriates for whom remunerations back to Pakistan forms a very vital part of their GDP. There's also an awful lot of foreign aid that Saudi Arabia gives to Pakistan and has done so for decades, as well as the fact that Saudi Arabia has been fighting a proxy war against its major nemesis, Iran, on Pakistani soil by fanning the flames of sectarian and communal violence there. Now, with the new attack taken by Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman as a proxy to his father, the ailing King Salman, it's going to be interesting to see whether this kind of fomentation of sectarian violence will continue and whether the Saudis will underwrite that, or whether they will, in the estimation and the objectives of Mohammed bin Salman, try to scale back the support for religious extremism that Saudi Arabia has made as part of its hallmark foreign policy over the last 3.5 decades, which would then greatly impact Pakistan and perhaps move Pakistan beyond what right now is a rather immoderate ideological expression.
A lot to keep an eye on, Saeed. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Saeed Khan is a senior lecturer in Near East Asian and Global Studies at Wayne State University. He joined us to talk about President Trump's threat to withdraw military aid to Pakistan.